Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. We have Luke's account once again of the crucifixion. Luke chapter 23. We read from this portion of scripture last Sunday morning as well, as we considered last Sunday morning, particularly the words of Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus' first word from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And we're going to be focusing on verse 46 this morning, Jesus' last word from the cross before he breathed his last. Let's give our attention to the holy word of God. Luke 23, we begin reading at verse 26. "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if we do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?' There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was utter darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts, and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So far from the Holy Word of God, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here to Luke 23, and I direct our attention once again to verse 46, our text for this morning. Luke 23, verse 46, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have read the crucifixion account in Luke's gospel, and we have a sense for much of the agony. The detail is laid out for us in sufficient measure for us to understand and appreciate the weightiness, the darkness, the difficulty of the day, that Good Friday when our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was crucified. Jesus' opening word here, however, in the language of Luke 23, verse 46, is so very encouraging. "Father," he says. It's a word of intimacy, a word of devotion, a word of commitment, a word of confidence. And it is a great encouragement for us to see. We mentioned last time that the Lord Jesus Christ sort of frames the seven sayings that he speaks from the cross with addresses to his Father. We saw the first one, 23 verse 34, "Father, forgive them." We see something there of the heart of the Lord Jesus. At the very moment that he was being crucified, he's crying in intimate devotion to his Father for forgiveness for those who've done this ghastly deed. Forgiveness for sinners like us and like you and me. We see the heart of the Father. And at the other end, now we have the Lord Jesus Christ able to say Father again. But remember that we had said that in the midst of these two bookends in terms of Jesus' words from the cross, at the heart, the fourth saying was the words of Matthew 27, verse 46. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," or my God, why have you forsaken me?" He cannot, he dare not call him Father. But now he does. And we've been tracing the Father prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ to have a sense of the heart of our Savior and to be encouraged in the intimacy that he has come for us to enjoy with God the Father, with him. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ began, or we began this study at least, with Jesus' prayer to the Father. "Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them to the weak and the poor and the needy. You've revealed them to babes," Jesus had said. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." The Lord Jesus Christ has now finished the work. This is where we're getting to here this morning. When he finally is able to say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The word that would have been said just prior to that, recorded in John 19, verse 30, is, "It is finished." It is finished. And now he can say, "Father." And now he can speak with confidence. And now he can commit himself to the Father's care. And I want us to be encouraged in that. I want every one of us to be encouraged in that. Whatever we are today, however we're struggling, that there is hope in Jesus Christ to come to the Father through him. The blessing of knowing we're in the good hands of the Father. Jesus is able to declare it. And because of what Jesus has done, we too can know it in the good hands of the Father. We see here in terms of Jesus' words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, it is in the first place an act of commitment. An act of commitment. What we're saying here is, take note that what Jesus is doing here is a devoted deed. This is something he does. This is an action. This is a work he accomplishes on our part. Now, that's easy to miss, but it's important to appreciate. At the end of the verse, it simply says, having said this, he breathed his last. And that's how it typically goes. When somebody finally dies, there comes a point where they breathe their last. And we may be tempted to miss the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, it says here, just before that, cries with a loud voice. He had been suffering for some 6 hours, and the previous three were under the weight of the wrath of God in total and utter abandonment and darkness. And now he speaks with a loud voice. And you understand, therefore, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply breathing his last. He chooses to give his life. That's what's going on. It's a deed. Jesus had clearly said in John 10, verse 18, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. He gives his life. And so when it comes to the moment of death, that is Jesus' act of devotion. He gives his life. So we pay attention to what he has to say because it's significant. Now we know there are many throughout history who have been able to utter words similar to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And perhaps we also noticed already when we read through Psalm 31 that Jesus is quoting from Psalm 31 verse 5. So these may be familiar words, words that that dying Christians throughout history, dying martyrs, have taken on their lips. But they can take these words on their lips only because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. People can die with confidence in the Lord Jesus because his work is finished. So when Jesus speaks these words, there's something unique. There's something absolutely distinct because it's Jesus the Savior speaking them. And he's speaking them as giving expression to the fact, I give my life. And he will go all the way to death. And he will say it loudly so that everyone understands. No one has taken his life from him. He's given it. And so that everyone can appreciate, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone all the way to death for us. We're living in the shadow of death today. Many people live with great fear with regard to death, and that's understandable. Death is the last enemy that we experience here in this life. And then what? Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed for man to live and then to die, and then the judgment. So death is a fearful thing. We understand that. We know that. But the Lord Jesus Christ is showing us here, yes, he went all the way to death. He experienced that too on our behalf. He has identified with us in our death. And that is the blessing that has destroyed our fear of dying. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a public spectacle of all of the principalities and powers that have been against us. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a public spectacle of the reality of death. Look here, he gives his life in death. And so we may say as well with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Death has lost its sting. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we know that because he gives his life as a loving deed, as an act of commitment. Let's go on in the second place and see that he speaks these words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, as words of assurance, words of great confidence. He's assured of communion. He's assured that he goes to be with his Father. What happens when Jesus dies? His body is taken and it is put in a tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, as we've read. But the moment he dies, his spirit goes to be with his Father. And it's so encouraging that Jesus may speak with such confidence of where his spirit goes, as we've said, because of what he's just experienced. The Lord Jesus has experienced 3 hours at the hands of men, you could say from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon. And then 3 hours in the hands of a just God from high noon till 3 in the afternoon. In that time of a thick darkness, a darkness you could not even begin to imagine. You'd not even be able to see your hand in front of your face. All the lights are out. Every sense of blessing removed. The Lord Jesus Christ receives the wrath of God in our place. You know, the Bible speaks of the blessing that God sends the rain and he sends the sun to the good and the evil. We see sunshine out of our windows here this morning. On that day, at high noon, it was so dark. The Lord Jesus Christ had experienced in our place the wrath of God. And so we cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And just think then of what it means that having come through that, the Lord Jesus Christ can now speak this last word from the cross, the first word of this phrase being, Father. He knows where he's headed. And he has firm confidence in it. Now, maybe it helps to think a little bit. Maybe you think it a bit strange. But boys and girls, you probably have heard the expression, wait till your father gets home. And you know, when you hear that from mom, wait till your father gets home, it means you're probably going to be in trouble when dad gets home. So to be able to say Father, as Jesus does, requires an understanding of what the Father is going to be about, what you should be expecting from Father, and what your Father is like. Well, the Father who sent his Son to die on behalf of sinners is a God of love. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows, Father, I commit myself, my spirit, into your hands, because he knows he'll be received in love. He's already been forsaken. He's already accomplished our salvation. He knows he's lived the life of perfect obedience in our place. He knows he's atoned for our sins by paying the price we could not pay. And that's why he can speak with a loud voice, with firm confidence, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He knows he'll be received with great joy. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, will be the reception he gets in heaven that moment as he breathes his last on earth. And that communion that the Lord Jesus Christ knows he will experience is the same confidence that you and I can have by God's grace today. Again, you have to think in terms of what do we receive in the Father's hands? I want us to think for a moment as well of Hebrews 10, verse 31, where it's said clearly in the Bible, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I want every one of us to consider our lives before the face of God and honestly understand that left to ourselves, by our own accomplishments, by our own record, none of us could dare to stand in the presence of God or to place ourselves in the hands of this God. It's a fearful thing to be in the hands of the living God, but not when we know Jesus. Not when we rest in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Then we may know that just as Jesus Christ is able to speak with confidence, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," we will enjoy the same reception. We can have the same communion with the Father who loves us, in whom there is forgiveness because the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work, because Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. And we may know it's a glorious thing to be in the hands of the living God. And we may know, therefore, as we rest in what Jesus Christ has done for us, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As Jesus Christ has said, no one can snatch us from his hand or from his Father's hand, because he and his Father are one. They're one in purpose, Father and Son, Holy Spirit. We may live in the confidence that God cares for us. In the midst of all of the things that trouble us, all of the fears that we have, and in the midst of a clear understanding of our own unworthiness before God, our need for grace and forgiveness, for hope, for eternal life, we may have confidence as we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he receives us. Yeah, these are words to die by, but they're words to live by as well. So the third thing we see here this morning is his action continues. What I want us to appreciate is when Jesus had quoted those words from Psalm 31 verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." These are, in the first place, or as they were written, words of David in the midst of trouble. He had said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. I'm in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief." But these were not words of David on his deathbed, so to speak. These are words of David as a commitment to live for God in the context of life. And we may know that as the Lord Jesus Christ then lives on in spirit, and 3 days later will be raised again bodily, so he continues to work all things together for our good at the right hand of his Father in heaven, so that we may live. So here's the thing, in terms of our being able to say with Jesus, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit," we need to appreciate it in the first place. This is an acknowledgement that, "Lord, I need you. I've got nothing to contribute to you. I have only sin to my record and to my account. I have everything standing against me, but here I am. Lord, take me." Think of the language of 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. The Apostle Paul speaks of not being ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. I commit my life to the Lord. I just lay it before you. Nothing to show for myself. Nothing to say, hey, Lord, look at me. But I just say, here I am. Lord, receive me. Receive me in grace. Receive me in your mercy. I lay myself before you. And as we do, as we humble ourselves before God and come to the Father through Jesus Christ, we may know that he receives us. We may know that we'll have the same confidence as Jesus in communion with him. But then, as we live our lives in the joy of that, we want to say, and so, Lord, not just words to die by, or not just words to get the concern I have for eternity dealt with, but they're words to live by. And so I commit my everything to you, Lord. I lay myself and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Here are my failings. Here are my sins. Here are the things that I should have done but left undone. And Lord, forgive me and restore me. But here is my health and here is my strength. Here are my illnesses. This is my struggle with regard to my health. Here it is, Lord, I lay it before you. I commit my life to you. Here's my family. Here's my business. Here's my bank account. Here are all the concerns I have for the future and my economic well-being. Lord, here I am. I commit myself to you. I want to live before you. I want to live in the joy of knowing I'm in good hands. And by the grace of God, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can and we will. We can live by these words, Lord, I commit my life to you. And so, because Jesus has spoken with such strong confidence of the blessing that he would go to be with Father, we can have the same confidence as we rest in him. And I urge every one of you to run to him, rest in him, be encouraged in that grace, in that communion that by God's grace you now can also say, Father, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. By God's grace in Jesus Christ, that's what we are. And now we want to live for him. And by God's grace, we will. Amen. Let's pray. Good and gracious, loving Father, what a privilege it is to address the God of the universe, the God of all glory, as our Father. And that's who you are for us, for Jesus' sake, because of Jesus' work. And we thank you that we may therefore rest in your love and care. We may rejoice in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We may rejoice in the communion, the fellowship we enjoy with you already now, and for how it is assured for us for eternity, the moment we die, and in the new heavens and the new earth. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable every one of us to say with Jesus, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And we don't say it, Lord, as something that we are accomplishing, because Jesus has accomplished it. We rest in that. We rejoice in that. And now, by your grace, we want to live for you. We want to be a blessing to those around us. We want to speak to others about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.